following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Hey, Refuge family. It's good to be with you. It feels like it's been a while on these Refuge Dailies that I've been able to join you. I've joined you as far as watching them, but getting to share with you myself, it seems like it's been a while. So it's good to be with you today. Really looking forward to our time together in the Word. I want to bring you a brief message from the Word of God. Micah, specifically, a minor prophet, one of the books in the Old Testament, minor by virtue of a few pages. Not what he had to say was minor, insignificant, not major. It's a major point, but just a few pages to say a lot. And so Micah, a prophet, in the times of Israel, when the nation was split into two, it was like two nations as part of one. And so Micah was a prophet speaking to what was called the southern part of the kingdom. Judah is what it was referred to as, and the northern 10 tribes referred to as Israel. They got to have the cool name, but they were the ones that had the real issue most of the time in their journey, in their walk with the Lord. Not to say the southern two tribes didn't, but anyway. So Micah, about the time of King Hezekiah, and a couple of his predecessors, King Hezekiah's predecessors. So a couple of decent kings in the mix there. But his calling, Micah's calling from the Lord, was to address the way that the God's people, and Israel in the context of what we're reading here, the way they treated their worship of the Lord and how they went about their worship or lack of worship of the Lord, and their treatment of their fellow people, the fellow Jews. Issues really of social injustice, which was a real key problem at the time, and it wasn't something that was confined to just government leaders, but also it was there with the spiritual leaders and then the people at large. So nobody was innocent of this. Nobody could say, "Oh, just those people in the government or just our religious leaders." It was everyone, because the heart of man is in every heart. So the message was applicable to all, and again, in context to the nation Israel, but the application certainly beyond. So the first chapter, and we're obviously just going to have time for one verse together, but the first, actually three chapters, the Lord, through the prophet Micah, establishes that living like this, the way they were treating their worship of the Lord and social injustice, the way they treated each other, it ultimately just is going to bring judgment. It's just the reality of it. And so the first three chapters go over that. And then chapter four lays out a reminder that God still has a plan for that millennial reign of Messiah, the millennial kingdom, the millennium. It's still coming one day, which is interesting that's put into the mix. I like that. And then chapter 5 says, but before that, first Messiah must come, and then he must come back again, his second coming of what we would know as Yeshua, as that Messiah, as that Mashiach. And then chapter 6, God really is asking a question, and that's where we're going to kind of hone in on here, just saying, why are you doing this? And so Micah chapter 6, verse 3, the Lord, speaking through the prophet, is saying, quote, "Oh, my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? Testify against me. If there's an indictment against me, then tell me." Verse 4 says, "For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and I redeemed you from the house of bondage." I freed you from that. I freed you from that bondage. And I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. And he goes on to explain some of the other things that he did, a reminder that this is, I've done this for you. I've freed you from this. And so the nation's reply is quoted here in verse 6 and 7, the people's reply. And they say, "Well, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" And it's interesting there, and we don't want to read into the sense, the heart behind those words, but you almost get the sense that it's almost kind of cheeky, just kind of, I don't know. It's just interesting. Well, should I do this? Is that going to be enough? And it really, in some ways, is kind of a sad reply. But what's not sad, which really is encouraging, which is rich, is the Lord's reply, his response, God's response, as per Micah in verse 8, we'll pick up. And this is what Micah says to the people. He says, he has shown you, the Lord has shown you, oh man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So in other words, know my people, all that other stuff, that's not it. That's not what it is. And Micah lays out what it is. And so first, again, he has shown you. God has shown you. It's not hidden. He's revealed it. He's made it known. I like that, right? It's not something obscure. God has made it known. And he's made known what is good. What is excellent? What is rich? What is pleasant? Which is valuable is the idea behind the word there. And so the Lord has revealed that, and he's revealed what he requires. And that word meaning what he requires, what he desires, what he seeks from his people. And the first thing we read up there, still in verse 8, was to do justly. And do, two-letter word, do, that's really the operative word there. Operative word in a lot of passages of Scripture, to do, not talk about justice, reminisce about justice, but to do it, to do it, to do the right thing when dealing with others, to be just, to be a woman of integrity, to be a man of integrity, unbiased. That's tough, to be unbiased. I'm going to give you a couple of modern day examples. When you have a car that's getting old and it's time to get rid of it, time to replace it, because it's got some problems, it's got some issues, and you go to sell that, but you hide those flaws. You want to cover them up. You want to mask them. You don't want that potential buyer to know. And it's, now that's not doing justly. You don't want to do that. Obviously, you want to sell it, but sell it for what it is. So you want to do justly. And so that's an easy example. Let me give you a harder one in light of the times that we're specifically in right now. Is to ask yourself on your particular stance on the lockdown, is it biased? Is it biased? I was speaking with somebody recently who's a teacher in the public school system. And as teachers said to me, I wonder if my fellow teachers would be so much in favor of not returning to school if they were told that there will be no pay, that it'll be unpaid furlough time. And that's a good question. That's a way of doing justly, is just saying, hey, is my perspective biased? I think that's a great question. How many government workers would be so pro of it if they were not to be paid? How many single income parents, if they had to become double income parents, would say the same thing, right? And so this is not to tell you or to express to you the sense of what's just, but rather to say when you approach things justly, there's no bias to my situation, you know. So whether it's the selling of that clunker or just your read on the times that we live, do justly. Perhaps the best summation, always the best summation, is our Lord, our Savior Jesus, when he would sum it up this way, when he said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so that kind of encapsulates that first point there, I think, quite well. Of course, Jesus, right? And so do justly. Secondly, love mercy. Love mercy. This is what the Lord seeks for you, wants from you, requires really of us is that we do justly and love mercy. And so the interesting, this Hebrew word here that Micah uses, you see it often in the Old Testament, but it's the word mercy there is often translated many, many, many times in Scripture as loving kindness. And so that's part of the essence of this word here. So the translators have used the word mercy, which is very, very often used in Scripture in the translation of this Hebrew word as well. But the two are there. The two understandings are there. So that's why it's translated in those two different words in various places, depending on the context. But both are part of that word. And so, you know, mercy basically is just not insisting on the punishment that is deserved, but no matter what, that must be meted out. And so mercy is like, oh, I know I deserve that, but please no. And that's how God is with us, right? He's merciful because he loves us. It's an expression of his loving kindness. And so the blend of the two is certainly key, loving kindness and mercy. And so do justly, love mercy. And then the last thing that Micah says is to walk humbly. Walk humbly with your God. And the first part of that, I love that. How awesome is that? That God wants me, wants you to walk with him, right? He's saying, well, you know, you do this and you do that, but I'll keep my distance. No, he wants to walk through life with us, right? Amazing. That's the Lord. He wants that. And so he wants to walk with us. And yet the instruction here is walk humbly with your God. Walk humbly with your God. And really, it's the only way you can walk with God is to walk humbly. Because you don't earn that. You haven't merited that. You can't walk with God and say, well, you know why I'm here walking with God, don't you? No, you can't do that. That's a contradiction in terms, walking with God and a lack of humility. It can't happen. So walk with the Lord and walk humbly with him, realizing that you don't deserve that any more than anyone else does. No one deserves that. So you can't do that with the thinking that, well, there's a reason why I get to. Well, there is, and it's because God is gracious. That's why. And so walk humbly with the Lord. Walk in humility. And when you do that, when I do that, it affects my perspective. It affects your perspective on life. It affects your way of living. It affects the way you treat others, and it affects the way you treat worship of the Lord. Which again, those were the big issues. Those were the two big issues, right? That Micah's addressing: how you're treating God's people, and how you're treating your worship of the Lord. So great. Solution, if you will, remedy that God has provided to these things. I love it. So let me just read it to you one more time and we'll close with prayer, all right? So, he has shown you, oh man, what is good. So God's people, he's shown you what's good. This is good. This is rich. This is pleasant. This is healthy. And what does the Lord require of you? What does he seek for you to do justly? To love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen? Let's pray. Well, Father, thank you that you would desire to walk with us. Lord, you know the things that keep us from doing that, that get in the way, hindrances. And you address those for us, Lord. And even in this brief but powerful book, we call Micah from your servant Micah, our brother. Lord, you address issues that just need to be addressed. There's always something to address in our lives, and this is certainly applicable to us, not just the nation Israel back then, centuries ago, but even now. And Lord, you did it in a way that was gracious and yet concise and firm, and you reminded them and you remind us that your heart is still to have that sweet, sweet time that we call the millennium, Lord, that time when your Son, our Savior, is going to reign on this earth as the King of Kings, and it's going to be so sweet. It's going to be the way you intended it to be. And yet you reminded them that Messiah, your Son, would come to the earth and then return again before that happened. And so, Lord, it's good for us to be reminded of that as well. And it's good for us to be reminded of what awaits us. And yet, Lord, you don't want us to wait until then to walk right with you, to walk humbly with you, to do justly, and to love mercy. Lord, we need mercy. We need to show it. So, Father, thanks for showing us this. Lord, thanks for your word, always, always timely. Always applicable. We love you and we thank you. In the name of your Son, our Savior Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for joining us today for Refuge Daily.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.